Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and neighbors. After a couple days of cloudy, damp, and cool for most everybody, a couple days of rainy, wet weather, we got an awesome weekend Saturday, Sunday.
And awesome in a relative term of what April has been. And one of the things that you and I were sharing some text messages is over Easter, you were spectating, watching the ground getting worked.
Yes. They were down in Richland County. They stuck some wheat seed in.
Yeah.
And then it got rained on.
And I was an active participant in the garden, the tillage of Larry's with that. He didn't even hold back. Like, he was planting potatoes on Good Friday and lettuce and onions and carrots and pepper. I can't even remember what else, but it was like this. And again, he does have an ag degree from NDSU.
And he did work for USDA for many years,
right?
Or NRCS.
Yep,
or
USDA. It was FHA back in the olden days. And then when he retired, it was the FSA office. And I don't doubt, you know, number one, he doesn't listen to me. So I never correct him. And I don't blame him because my wife doesn't listen to me either.
Yeah.
But this is what he told me. I said, aren't you a little bit early on the radishes and some of that stuff? Don't you want to wait until the ground temperature? I listened to you reading off like the subsoil, ground temperatures. And he said, nope. He said, I plant them today. I wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they're all going to be the same height. That was his, and I think that was more of just a philosophy, is that if he waits to plant, the ones that he plants early just slowly grow, and then the ones that are planted at the proper time that have the right soil temperature, those, you know, I put it into a context of my teacher telling me, you can teach a kid to read at 4 or 5 years old, and if they don't learn to read till they're 6 or 7, by the time they're 8 or 9, they're still reading at the same pace that they would have. So Larry's just planting the seed a little bit earlier because he had nothing better to do, Mick. That's what it was.
Oh, that's it, yes.
And nothing better to do, so he's out digging in the dirt like a good old farm boy.
But he did it like Dad and Grandpa, maybe even Great-Grandpa did in the early part of the 20th or late part of the 19th century.
Yeah.
Way back there.
Yeah, he got his son to do it for him.
Yeah. There you go. That's how it's done.
That's how they did it for generations and for generations. But as you said, a good weekend weather-wise, and I've thought about it. We've talked about the concerns with how dry it is. Thankfully, some areas got a little bit of precipitation, but you know, still the fire danger index with people heading out for the turkey season. And in a way, my heart goes out to anyone that needs that moisture and the people that have been fighting the fires. And I also think of how many times that we might be, you know, spending, you know, extensive amount of time talking about muddy roads and dikes and rivers overflowing and flooded cropland and flooded farmland, that we want to make sure that the turkey hunters know that, hey, you know, when you knock on that door, that farmer's got 3 culverts that are blown out and a bridge that he can't get across, and he's driving an extra 20 miles every direction. So please, you know, understand where they're at. And it's the same thing this year, that, you know, the turkey season opens up and you've got areas where you cannot be too cautious and too careful with the fire danger that's out there, Mick.
Fire danger, and now with the rain, southeast North Dakota, a lot of eastern South Dakota, Huron's picked up almost 2 inches of rain, at least an inch. And so muddy township roads are a problem in some places. Fire danger out west. So
right, and that's the thing. Like, you know, with your reach across the region, is when you think about from Watertown to Williston, or from Grafton to Galva, where you have people that on one hand are struggling with how dry it is and the fire danger index, with other people going, hey, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, our roads don't get rutted up because it's going to be go time for getting out into the field. And that's kind of the mindset that we try to put in, whether you're going out fishing, going out turkey hunting, going out snow goose scouting, going out for a Sunday drive, going out bird watching, whatever you're doing, realize that how much of a variation there can be from one area to the next. And yeah, you know, one place you got to have the fire flapper, and the next place you got to be staying on the hard surfaces, Mix.
All right. Well, that's the world we live in. It's the region we live in this year, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So turkey hunting tomorrow, you said about 4,000 tags available. How many are, you know, round figure, how many have actually been sent out and are in the hands of the hunters.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know exactly offhand how many there are. One of the things that we really try to focus on with the hunters and the landowners is no matter how many tags are out there, we're not going to solve all the problems for the farmer, the rancher, the landowner. No matter how many tags that we have, there's going to be hunters that might be disappointed. But what we can try to do is get people to think and make some intentional decisions. If you're a farmer and you've had turkey problems in the wintertime, and now spring's coming, the turkeys spread on out. Mm-hmm. They're not gathered around the farmstead anymore. Please consider, post your land, do what you have to do. That's not the issue that we're bringing up right now. That's hopefully coming to the resolution through the legislature. But if Doug shows up with a turkey tag and you say, yeah, I got problems with turkeys, I'd love you to go out and shoot a dozen of them. Well, I got one tag. And Mick has a turkey tag. Say, Doug, when you shoot your turkey, could you please tell me, and then I'll make sure that Mick can come in on Sunday and shoot his turkey. And, next weekend, I can have my friend Ed come out and shoot a turkey. Because turkey hunting can be really, really specific to an area. Mm-hmm. And the season lasts about 6 weeks, goes until the mid part of May. Just allowing Doug to go shoot a turkey probably isn't going to really solve a lot of your problems. But if you have four different hunters come in, you can subtract that population, you can reduce the potential growth on it, and then what it does is it might change some of that turkey behavior, because when Tom Turkey sees that Terry Turkey and Todd Turkey and Trevor Turkey are no longer around, they get the picture in a hurry.
Oh, yes, they're not dumb.
No, they're not.
No,
You're right. They're a very smart bird. So you can move those turkeys out of your farmstead, maybe to a different valley, a different creek bed, a different area, and that might not happen by shooting one turkey, but by shooting two turkeys or three turkeys or four turkeys, that can help. So that's for the landowners. Please consider allowing extra turkey hunters after they've filled out to come in. The next thing is, if you're a turkey hunter, or if you're a landowner, you can say, hey, let's help set this up. If you're a turkey hunter, be honest and say, I can't come out there the opening weekend. My son's got a track meet, or, I've got, I won't be able to hunt turkeys until the end of April. Let them know when you're asking permission to go turkey hunting, and then just ask them, or if you know other turkey hunters, say, here's the deal. I can't come out for the first couple of weeks, but this guy can, mm-hmm. and we can help reduce the turkey population, and then make sure that you tell him and say, hey, I already filled my tag, so there's 3 weeks left in the turkey season. If you want to open it up and let other people come out here and shoot turkeys, hey, by all means do that. And that really is kind of like the recipe that goes a long ways for where hunters and farmers and ranchers can meet the mutual goal. The turkey mm-hmm. hunter wants to shoot a bird, wants to put one in the freezer. The farmer goes, I am just tired of dealing with these turkeys in the wintertime. And that's where, we can scratch each other's back, Mick.
Okay. Usage, though, is my next question. So everybody applies for a fishing license or fills out the form, gets a fishing license.
Right.
Everyone applies for a small game license, gets one.
Yep.
About a third of the people who apply for a deer license, deer tag, get one. Do you always sell out, I guess, of the turkey tags?
Or
not so much?
Not so much, because, and there again, we manage our turkeys by unit. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, just by human nature, we have the high population centers of a Fargo or a Grand Forks, you're going to have a large interest in turkeys. And we don't have as many tags, that we have in the northern Red River Valley and the southern Red River Valley, but you can go to some, other units and find 500-600 tags in that unit. And, some of the smaller number of tags, like in the Stutzman County area, you might have like 150 turkey tags. So if you really, in the future, want to hunt a turkey, if you look at the way the units are broke down with the number of tags that are available, you can increase your odds. It's kind of the same mentality with the deer season. We didn't sell all of our deer tags last year. Mm-hmm. We had some units out in southwestern North Dakota that didn't sell out. So when the deer applications come out in the middle of May and you say, oh, man, I just want to get a tag, that's where you can do your homework and find a unit that didn't sell out. And that's, I can't guarantee you're going to get a tag in the unit that you want, but I can guarantee if you do some homework, you can increase your odds for turkey tags, for deer tags, and everything in between, Mick.
Okay, gotcha. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist on a great Friday because the rain's done and the weekend is here and life is pretty good. Sunshine, highs upper 50s to about 60. Good weekend to get outdoors.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to be a hunter or an angler just to get outdoors in the springtime and look up at the sky, look down on the ground, and it's good for the soul, Mick. It's good for the soul, my friend.
Blue sky gets rid of the blues.
Yeah, indeed. Well put, my friend. Well put.
All right, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Take care, Mick.
You bet. Friday afternoon on Farm Talk. Have a great weekend. Eric will be here Monday.